Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Feminist City Claiming Space in a Man-Made World by Leslie Kern is a work of feminist urban geography and social criticism that examines how cities shape, restrict, and enable everyday life. Kern argues that urban space is not neutral. Streets, transit systems, housing, parks, workplaces, and safety policies often reflect assumptions about a default user who is male, able-bodied, heterosexual, economically secure, and largely free from caregiving duties. The book combines personal observation, feminist theory, urban studies, and political analysis to show how women and marginalized groups experience the city differently. Its purpose is not simply to identify design flaws, but to question the social priorities built into urban environments, organized around themes such as motherhood, friendship, singleness, protest, and fear. The book asks what cities would look like if care, accessibility, safety, and belonging were treated as central planning concerns rather than secondary social issues. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the male default built into ordinary urban design. A central argument of feminist city is that many urban environments are planned around an assumed universal user who is not actually universal. Kern identifies this figure as typically male, able-bodied, economically independent, and unburdened by daily caregiving tasks. This matters because design choices that appear technical or neutral can create unequal access in practice. Transit routes that prioritize commuting between home and a central workplace may serve a traditional breadwinner model better than the chain trips made by caregivers who move between schools, shops, medical appointments, paid work, and home. Public infrastructure such as stairs, narrow turnstiles, poorly maintained elevators, high handrails, or inadequate public toilets can turn routine movement into negotiation for parents, disabled people, older people, pregnant people, and many women. Kern does not treat these details as isolated inconveniences. She presents them as evidence that cities encode social assumptions about whose bodies count and whose needs are normal. The force of the argument lies in shifting attention from spectacular failures to everyday exclusions. A city can appear functional while still requiring many residents to adapt, compensate, plan ahead, or avoid spaces that were never designed with them in mind. Secondly, caregiving exposes the limits of public and private space. Kern uses motherhood and caregiving to challenge the sharp separation between public and private life that often structures urban planning. Or, cities tend to treat care as something that happens inside the home, while paid work, transportation, commerce, and public activity receive more visible institutional support. Feminist City shows that this division is misleading because care constantly moves through the city. A caregiver may need stroller-accessible transit, safe sidewalks, toilets, places to breastfeed, affordable childcare, nearby groceries, and housing connected to services. When these supports are missing, the burden falls on individuals, most often women, to make the city workable through extra time, physical effort, and emotional labor. Kern links these spatial problems to broader gender inequality rather than presenting them as lifestyle complaints. The city organized around the worker commuter fails to recognize the complexity of reproductive labor, meaning the labor that sustains daily life. This analysis is important because it reframes care as infrastructure. If cities are designed only for efficient economic production, they undervalue the work that makes households, neighborhoods, and labor markets possible. A feminist city would treat care as a public concern and design mobility, housing, services, and public space around interdependence. Thirdly, female friendship and single life as overlooked forms of urban belonging. One distinctive feature of the book is its attention to friendship and singleness, topics often treated as private or secondary in urban studies. Kern argues that cities have long offered women possibilities for independence, intimacy, experimentation, and mutual support outside the heterosexual nuclear family. Female friendships can shape how women explore neighborhoods, share housing, build political awareness, manage risk, and create networks of care. Yet planning and cultural narratives often privilege coupledom, family households, property ownership, and conventional domestic stability. This can make other forms of urban life seem temporary, immature, or less deserving of support. The discussion of single women also complicates the idea that city freedom is equally available to everyone. Single women may experience autonomy and opportunity, but they also encounter moral judgment, economic pressure, housing insecurity, and heightened scrutiny in public space. Kern is interested in this tension. The city can be liberating precisely because it allows anonymity, mobility, and alternative relationships, yet those freedoms are unevenly distributed and often fragile. By treating friendship and single life as serious spatial questions, the book expands feminist urbanism beyond safety and childcare. It asks how housing, public space, leisure, and transit might support varied ways of living. Fourthly, urban fear cannot be solved by safety measures alone. Feminist City devotes significant attention to fear, but Kern avoids a simple argument that women need more surveillance, policing, and defensive design. She recognizes that many women alter their routes, clothing, schedules, and behavior because of harassment or the threat of violence. These adaptations limit access to work, leisure, protest, friendship, and public life. However, Kern also warns that common safety responses can reproduce other forms of harm. Increased policing may reassure some residents while making people of color, unhoused people, migrants, sex workers, queer communities, and trans people less safe. Bright lighting, cameras, hostile architecture, and exclusionary public order policies can create a city that looks safer for some by pushing others out of sight. This is one of the book's strongest intersectional interventions. Kern argues that fear is not only an individual emotion, but a political and spatial condition shaped by gender, race, class, sexuality, and ability. A feminist approach to safety would therefore ask who is being protected, who is being controlled, and whose presence is treated as a threat. The book shifts the conversation from making women feel safe in a narrow sense to building urban conditions where more people can belong without being criminalized or displaced. Lastly, protest and planning as tools for reclaiming urban space, Kern presents the city not only as a site of exclusion, but also as a terrain of political action. Streets, squares, campuses, transit systems, and neighborhoods are places where people contest power and make collective demands visible. The book connects feminist urbanism to protest movements that have fought for access, safety, housing, reproductive rights, labor rights, and freedom from violence. At the same time, Kern does not romanticize activism. She notes that protest spaces can reproduce gender labor divisions, exclusion, ableism, racism, and conflicts over whose demands are centered. This makes the politics of claiming space more complex than simply entering the street. Feminist urban change requires attention to process as well as outcome. Who speaks, who organizes, who performs care work, who faces police risk, and who can physically participate all matter. Kern also points toward planning principles that follow from this critique. Cities should be designed from the body, with attention to different abilities and vulnerabilities. They should move marginalized experiences from the edge of consultation to the center of decision-making. They should prioritize care rather than treating safety as a matter of control. In this sense, the book turns critique into a practical framework for rethinking urban governance. In conclusion, Feminist City is especially useful for readers interested in urban planning, geography, feminism, architecture, public policy, disability access, transportation, housing, and social justice. It will also speak to city residents who have sensed that ordinary movement to public space is shaped by gender, race, class, sexuality, parenting status, and bodily difference, but want a clearer vocabulary for understanding why. The practical benefit of the book is that it trains readers to see design and policy as social choices rather than neutral technical decisions. It encourages planners and citizens to ask who a sidewalk, train route, park, housing model, or safety policy is actually serving. Intellectually, the book stands out because it links intimate experiences such as fear, friendship, pregnancy, caregiving, and single life to large urban systems. Compared with more technical planning books, it is more accessible and politically reflective. Compared with broader feminist theory, it is more grounded in the built environment and everyday mobility. Its distinctive contribution is the combination of personal urban experience, intersectional critique, and a clear demand to place care and belonging at the center of city life. The result is an introductory but substantive account of why feminist urbanism matters beyond women alone. If you would like to support Leslie Kern, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.